Hi, Brent Clough here, and welcome to 360 Documentaries on ABC Radio National. Today, we're sonically straddling the continent of Asia. In about half an hour, we have an atmospheric piece about Macau, with its Portuguese past and its People's Republic of China present and future. It's a place that reverberates with memory and uncertainty. Right now, though, in our third program exploring freedom of expression in Southeast Asia, Gary Bryson drops into Thailand's political maelstrom to find out what both sides, red shirt and yellow shirt, can and can't say on the airwaves during a national emergency. There are some 8,000 community radio stations in Thailand. Most of them are illegal. In Chiang Mai, we'll discover a red shirt radio station that broadcasts out of a room in an empty hotel. While in an apartment block that bristles with broadcast towers, we'll meet a matronly middle-aged lady who runs 4U Radio. We'll also encounter the young director of an independent online magazine, who's currently facing a jail sentence on charges of Lee's Majesty, offending the dignity of the Thai crown. And the venerable Buddhist activist Sulak Sivaraksa takes issue with the idea that Thailand has no colonial past. Gary begins, though, at Bangkok's Lam Phong Railway Station, where the Red Shirt Express is about to depart.
The train is waiting at the station. It's absolutely jam-packed full of people in red shirts. They're all opened the windows. They're all hanging out saying goodbye.
In Thailand, every day has a colour. Yellow is the colour of the king's birthday. Red is the opposite of yellow. I've dropped into Thailand's hugely complicated political maelstrom to find out what either side, red shirt or yellow shirt, can say during a national emergency and what happens when you say it. It's a worrying time for Thai newspaper editor Kavichong Kittavorn of The Nation newspaper.
We have to compete with Twitter, we have to compete with blogger, we have to compete with, in Thailand, with citizen journalists. And whatever happened now is we have extreme journalists that gained the attention. Why? Because mainstream journalists is very bland.
Welcome to Hue Lam Phong Railway Station in central Bangkok. I'm catching a train full of people wearing red shirts. There's still a state of emergency here. And that's why we're on the train. Any politically motivated gathering of more than five people is illegal in Bangkok. But we're off to Ayutthaya, a couple of hours north and well out of the state of emergency zone. Thousands of red shirts are gathering there for a rally. Everybody's smiling.
Well, so we're trying to get on the train now. It's incredibly packed. And I'm just squeezing my way through the doorway here.
And in a sea of cheering red, we trundle out of the station. While we're on our way to Ayutthaya, let's hear some of the background to the reporting of these demonstrations. Here's Kavichong Kittavorn again.
I think there's a lot of soul searching in Thai media now as to what would happen in the next political crisis. We have to make sure that we are not part of the conflicting party. This part is very difficult. I think Thai journalists, some of them are pretty confused, and I think they need to do soul searching.
The main papers here do tend to be bland or tied in with business and political interests, and it can be dangerous for reporters. Provit is also with The Nation.
I wouldn't say it's as dangerous as in the Philippines. Luckily, I think that lethal culture of killing journalists is not very deep-rooted here. Though some journalists, especially what the so-called stringers, get killed because those stringers upcountry tend to be a local business owner or local influential person, and they get into other trouble, and we don't quite know what they are killed for when they are being murdered. But not in Bangkok. We're not really. They just take you to jail for less majestic, perhaps.
Less majesty or insulting the king is an old law that's being used to control journalists, bloggers and public speaking. Sulai Sivaraksa, at 78, has been a voice of dissent for many years and fell foul of these laws after giving a lecture at his university.
You see, in this country, people feel that, oh, this is the land of Smai, Buddhist land. But in fact, the class conflict in this country is very strong, very hierarchical. And not only that, this country is also racist. You don't realize that. The Northeastern, we call them Lao. They are inferior race. How can you believe in that? The Malay, we call them the Kek, inferior race. And the king tried to please them. He called them Thai Muslim. But they don't want to become Thai. They are Malay Muslim. Why don't we call them Malay Muslim? And our brother, Malay. And we are still the only country. We salute the flag every morning at 8 o'clock and every evening at 6 o'clock. If you don't salute the flag, you could be put in jail. The same with the national anthem. Every bloody cinema and so on, you have to stand up for the royal anthem. And recently, a couple refused to stand. They were charged for lèse majesté. The case is still going on.
I've been arrested last year. That's the first time of my arrest, and the police come to my office.
Chiranuk Premchaiporn is the director of Prachatai, an online news magazine with a reputation for the kind of fearless reporting that gets you into trouble in Thailand. She's facing a grim future after an anti-royalist comment was posted on the Prachatai site.
Prachatai, we not just only provide the news and articles, but we also provide a space for the people to share and express their information, their views, their feelings. And there are some comments that the police consider is like violate the law, endanger the national security, and also can consider like the lèse majesté content. That bring me to be charged last year.
Chiranuk Premchaiporn found herself in even more trouble after publishing an interview with the man who refused to stand for the national anthem in the cinema.
When we did interview after he was charged for lèse majesté, there's like a 200 comments come after the interview. And 5 comments been considered as insult the royal family. And I've been charged with the lèse majesté again in the criminal court.
What are you facing in terms of consequences for this? How many years in jail?
We still don't know yet. The maximum jail term that I can face can be 50 years. And so together can be like a 70 years.
70 years, that's a bit scary, I think.
A kind of like a whole life of one person, if there's a live long enough. It's hard for my family. I know that they have to deal with these kinds of things, but I still believe that it would be better if these kinds of things not being treated behind the scene. It should be in the public eyes.
I've just noticed the slogan on your T-shirt. You say, Internet at Liberty 2010, and then the promise and peril of online free expression. Now, you've told us something about the peril. What's the promise of online free expression for you?
This is a thing that I just learned. The online world is like a new land for the people to find the wisdom, the information, the knowledge, and also can express their view, their thought. And it's a chance that the different view, different angle, different information can come across. And this is, I think, is good for the people to learn. People should not think in the same ways all the time.
I'm standing in the doorway on this train, which is taking us with the red shirts, and I'm pretty close to the doorway, but there are 3 other people sitting on the steps of the open doorway in front of me here, and it's just started to rain. It's absolutely pouring down now, but nothing will douse the enthusiasm of this crowd. You can hear the cheers, you can hear the singing. People are cheering and waving as we pass.
We have high level of political mobilization. What is lacking is civilized political dialogue. You see, media is very important and we fail. You see, we try to be in between report and then, you know, the government said we're going to do that. A lot of time through media negotiation. My goodness, Thailand is pretty open. Is there any other country like Thailand where you have all the major human rights organizations, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, every day point to the finger to the Thai government. My God, you violate human rights, you violate press freedom. Another journalist was in jail. You bad, you know, you better do something. And the Thai government, okay, tell us more. We will try to do what you want us to do. But you stay, okay? We don't kick you out. The government should do more, but the government cannot do more because they have other issues. Economics, the disparities between the rurals and the urban. My God. And you put this into perspective. Media freedom is part of this priority. It cannot supersede other issues.
That's the sound of a newspaper editor negotiating an element of free speech. Thai politics are less than stable. There's a powerful billionaire ex-president, Thaksin Shinawat. Some of you might remember him for his brief purchase of Manchester City Football Club in Britain. Thaksin was deposed in a military coup in 2006 and prosecuted for corruption. He's now in exile and wanting to come back and fight another election. Loosely speaking, his often rural, more working class supporters are red shirts. The urban upper classes, royalists, and the current political party are yellow shirts. And finally, in this summary of a complicated politics, there's the king, Bhumibol Adulyadej, who's highly respected on all sides, but at 83 years old and not in the best of health, well, without him, anything might happen.
I'm afraid violence will take place again. And right now, we still have emergency orders. And it means that the military has more power than the civilians. And this country is very good at window dressing. We fool the foreigners for so long, and now we are fooling ourselves.
The place where people really are having a say is in community radio, which has played a big part in the organisation and reporting of demonstrations. There are literally hundreds of small radio stations jostling for position on the airwaves across the country. It's people power in action, something that media analyst Ubanrat Sirayusawak has studied closely.
They're so hungry for relevant information to be acknowledged that they have the same, you know, information service, to have the same kind of dignity that they appear, you know, on the news agenda. The change is structural. Now you have to acknowledge, you know, local voices, so much so that Bangkok people begin to have deep fear. So many languages, and that's a revolution in itself already. And this is unearthing a lot of fear of the elite, of the middle class, of the educated.
We were told that there's a certain amount of corruption around the building and selling of transmitters. Is that correct, that members of the public service with experience and expertise sell these transmitters, make money, there's a bit of a kickback?
Well, that's how the story goes. Of course, they see this as an opportunity.
Vishan Unuk, who chairs the Federation of Community Radio Stations, says that although there are 6,500 stations here, only about 200 are proper community stations run by volunteers. For the rest, just under 5,000 are commercial, earning money through advertising, but declared as community stations to avoid paying tax. 1,000 are religious, and the military have around 400. It is boom time. Everybody's at it. As to those all-important transmitters, Vishan continues Ubanrat's story.
It's illegal to import or own your own transmitter unless you're a government employee. There have been reports that the people who used to work in the department relevant to radio resigned from their jobs as public servants to do the business of transmitter selling. You can make a lot of money.
But the fact that the transmitters, although widely in use, remain illegal means the government can conveniently shut down any station whenever it wants to. In a suburb of Chiang Mai in Thailand's north, we stop outside a pink 12-storey apartment block. It's like many other blocks of flats here. except that the roof is bristling with radio masts. I count at least nine, each one transmitting the radio stations hidden inside. This is redshirt territory, and the stations are constantly being closed down by the authorities. In an empty apartment on the 12th floor, I meet Tewi Chamdanausa.
My name is Tewi. I'm the owner of the radio station, FM 89.25.
Tewi calls herself 4U Radio. She was threatened with being shut down. But everybody knows everybody else here. Tewi got wind the police were coming, gave all her equipment away, and even organised the taking down of the 30-metre radio mast from the roof of her block of flats.
I move everything out. I've been waiting for them to come and charge me because I don't want to run away. I waiting for 2 months. They didn't come. I tell them, come now, you know, so I can go home. They walk up here, oh, 5-6 people. Oh. I open the door. I don't want them to think that I'm running away. So when they came, they see only me sitting here with the table.
So, having finally managed to get arrested by 6 extremely polite policemen, Tewi goes along to the police station.
I tell them, I'm fighting for the democracy. I didn't do anything. So the police said, I have to fire you then. I said, I don't want to go to jail. I said, so fire me, charge me. But don't charge me a lot because I have no money. So they did.
How much did they fine you?
500 baht.
500 baht is around 15 Australian dollars.
The minimum for me, because I'm the good person.
You must have charmed them.
Number one, I'm old. Number two, they investigate already. That's why they charged me this. And then the equipment came from the donation. I cannot keep it. So I give to another group of the red shirt. And don't ask me, because I'm not going to tell you, even though you put me in jail or kill me.
When do you hope to be broadcasting again?
After it cooled down a little bit.
The indomitable Tewi Chamdanausa, mother of 3, red shirt, station director of the popular 4U radio as was in Chiang Mai, and policeman's nightmare. On the other side of town, in a suburban street, is a yellow shirt station, FM 94. On November 26, 2008, a senior politician from Thaksin's party was due to visit Chiang Mai. And what happens next clearly illustrates how things can go terribly wrong here. Station co-director Anne.
ช่วงเหตุการณ์ตอนนั้นก็คือเราก็ได้คือเราไม่ได้มีการชุมนุมเลยนะคะ
We weren't having any demonstrations then, no rallies, just normal discussions and linking live to the news from ASTV, the headquarters. And then the minister Shum Shai, he was Thaksin's nominee number one. He came to Chiang Mai to the airport, and all the red shirt stations asked their supporters to go and welcome him. And our village is on the way from the airport, and a lot of red shirts came and blocked the street.And then they broadcast more on the radio, and they'd been drinking alcohol all day, and a lady got shot. She needed to go to the hospital straight away. So my father-in-law tried to drive his car through the crowd on the main street, and all the Reds got angry because of the alcohol. And they started to smack the windows of the car and throw rocks, and then they shot him with a gun, and he died immediately.
What, I ask Anne, is the difference between the red and the yellow shirt stations?
The difference between us is that we cannot say, you are lying, you are lying. But we have the tape. We have the evidence.
The tape that Anne refers to is not really a tape. It's the news feed from STV, the yellow shirt TV station in Bangkok. Community stations on both sides relay the audio from TV stations, which are themselves either red shirt or yellow shirt.It's little more than propaganda.
These stations relay the signals from demonstration site.
Ubon Rat Siriusawak.
And all those were political speeches, which are not the same as when you speak on radio, when you feel that this is a public medium, there are certain measures for responsibility. but it was the relaying of speeches. It was like political speech, which organized maybe before an election. So they beat the other side up and they can speak any kind of language. And this got relayed. And this is why finally the government came in to try to close down PTV. PTV belonged to the Red. So it was really heating things up. Both sides use radio for propaganda purpose. The government does, the Yellow and the Red. So the Red who came later thought we use it as our propaganda tool. So everyone forget their ethics book, you know. Just leave it on the book. And we go ahead and fight and see who wins first.
Just around another Chiang Mai corner, we call in at the huge deserted Grand Wararat Hotel and find this. This is Lover 51 Radio. Four men in room 401 discussing fortune-telling. This is a red shirt station. I asked the station lawyer Muntri Pramwanit the same question I asked Anne about difference. I get this unexpected reply.
We had a rally and one of the soldiers there trying to control the crowd and has a wife who's a red shirt protester. And they just argued all day at the rally. But then they went home in the evening and ate dinner and didn't bother about politics at all. That's the reality here. Police, soldiers, they all come from local families and they have to do their own job, their own duty. So everyone here, they do their job, but we don't have any violence. In Chiang Mai, we never have a standoff. We don't fight or beat each other up, and we don't crack down with violence like in other places. We've never had that in Chiang Mai.
We know that this isn't true, given that someone was shot dead here 2 years ago. Outside Chiang Mai in Lamphun province. At the end of a dirt track in the forest, the telltale radio mast of another red shirt station.
We're sitting here in the shade of a rather large Thai olive tree, and we're out in the country. There are cows, there are chickens, and we're talking to DJ Run because there's also a radio station. Rimping Radio, 91.25. DJ Run, when did Rimping Radio begin?
We started Rimping Radio 6 years ago when ex-Prime Minister Thaksin ran the country. It was his policy to set up community radio, to spread news and information into the rural areas, to the grassroots community.
Rimping Radio broadcasts a mixture of music and talk. DJ Run is as well known for his taste in Thai country music as he is for his politics.
We tell the truth. What's really happening, what we see, that's what we report. I know they say we take sides, that we only report one side, but we only tell what we see. The government won't let us go to the meetings they have. They're not going to let red shirts in. I mean, they choose the media who come to the meetings, and it's not us. We're not professional journalists. We just take the temperature. But at least we're close to the community, to our audience.
So we have red shirt radio stations broadcasting their truth and yellow shirt radio stations broadcasting theirs. Is there any hope for dialogue?
In the future, anything can happen. If the Reds say they tell the truth, and the Yellows say they tell the truth, truth and truth, they could sit down and talk. It's possible, you know, that we can find some dialogue to work together. But again, it depends on the audience to make their own decision which one is the truth for them, for their own community.
Would you have a discussion in your radio station, including yellow shirts and red shirts together?
Our radio station is democratic, and we support the democratic system. You know, we have announced on our radio that if anyone has a different idea, wants to talk, please welcome. We'll open a space for you. But no one comes. In the future, maybe we will have reconciliation. If you ask me, do I want reconciliation? I say, yes, I do. But there has to be an explanation about what happened to the red shirts. And the yellow shirts have to take responsibility for the people who lost their lives. They have to tell the truth before we can have reconciliation. You can't ignore this point.
And Mr. Thaksin has to come back?
He has to come back. He needs to come back.
You have to give some leeway, some room to the Thai. Nobody teach them. They learn how to fight against colonialism. They escape the English and the French power. You can go to the poorest village in Cambodia. They can bake the best baguette in town. In Thailand, we cannot bake good bread. You have to go to French-run hotel. That's the problem. We can't speak good English. You go to Cambodia, they speak French. The Thai can only speak Thai. We grown up isolated, you see? So that's the problem. And suddenly we were caught with all this globalization. Now we have to learn. We are not cosmopolitans. You know, the Indonesian, they have the best drug distributing system because they learned it from the Dutch. You know, the Africans, the Nigerian love to come to Thailand to buy any drugs that you want, you know, in the drugstore because we don't have that kind of control. So this is Thailand. We have no role model. That is why we are mixed bag, potpourri of anything. Anything goes. You watch Thai TV, smoking, they blur it, you know. It's not allowed. Stupid. And you walk on, people smoke like mad. We prevent nude pictures. You go out, you know, you see all kind of freak show, you know, on platform. This is the kind of contradiction you see all the time. And that is Thailand. Like it or load it, this is Thailand.
Our packed train has finally arrived at Ayutthaya, and I join a convoy of red shirts, utilities, motorbikes, bicycles, people on foot. There are red flags waving everywhere, and red ribbons festoon the buildings and the bridge across the river. We're all heading to a large park nearby. It's ringed by police in full riot gear, but when we get there, there's no political demonstration, no placards, no inflammatory speeches. Just thousands of people in red shirts, sitting around in groups, having a picnic. And that's politics Thai style. It can certainly get ugly, it has in the past, and it might do so again. But for the moment, wearing the right colour shirt and having fun with your friends is enough, whether it's at a picnic or setting up your own radio station.
They know me. They know me. They know that I'm just pure Thai red shirt, want to fight for the democracy, and never have one single thing that bullshit on air. Not kill someone, not bomb, not anything.
When things do get more serious, the red shirts will be glued to their radios, listening out for one special song. The one that tells them that it's time for action. It might mean catch a train to Bangkok, or just come and surround your radio station because the police are coming. It could just possibly be the soundtrack to the next step in Thailand's political history.
We had the music that even if you turn on this music, that means call everybody in town, go and help.
Did the police know about the coded music?
Oh, yes. Ngan khao, ngan khao.
We have job to do, we have job to do.
What Can I Say in Thailand was presented by Gary Bryson and produced by Gary Bryson and Neil Trevithick. The series is a co-production of ABC Radio National and the BBC World Service. Next week, we're off to Singapore, the biggest shopping mall in Southeast Asia and the richest country in the region. It's also the least democratic, where the job of the media is not to question or criticise, but to help in the sacred process of nation building.